Hello, queers. You're listening to Movies a la Queer. This is Sarita Ramirez. And on this episode, we're going to explore a film that talks about leaving home and exploring new surroundings, maybe challenging your values, looking at different perspectives, falling in love for the first time, going through breakups, maybe really for the first time, and those traditional family values that can be so oppressing and heartbreaking also to disappoint your family and your friends. This film does a lot, and it was very relatable in some aspects, and I can't wait to talk about it. The film we're talking about in this episode is 2015's La Belle Saison. La Belle Saison, also known as Summertime, is a 2015 French-Belgian drama directed by Catherine Corsini, starring Cécile de France and Itzia Hichelin. The IMDb synopsis: a young woman moves from the French countryside to Paris and begins a passionate love affair with the feminist leader in this drama set in the 1970s France. Here's the trailer.
Lorsque vous conduisez une voiture, appliquez le code de la route.
Les femmes enceintes, leurs passagers, c'est la vie.
Mon corps n'est pas une voiture. Allez, on y va.
Manifester pourquoi?
Pour le droit des femmes.
On fait des trucs que t'as l'impression de pas pouvoir faire juste parce que t'es une femme. Pour l'avortement libre et gratuit.
Oh, y'a qu'à pas baiser.
Donne-moi ta main.
C'est quoi ce délire? Tu fais chier, Carole. C'est une expérience sexuelle ou t'es amoureuse?
J'en sais rien, Manuel.
Te quiero.
Te quiero.
Mi amor.
Mi amor.
Si tu débloques, tu vas pas retourner t'enferrer là-bas.
Mais c'est trop pour ma mère.
Ça m'a jamais fait ça avec personne, alors j'y vais. Je peux pas faire autrement.
On s'est connus un groupe de femmes.
Un groupe de poterie pour femmes.
Mais tu fais des choses comme ça, toi?
Elle est très douée, en plus. Elle a fait toute une série de très jolis petits vases.
Est-ce que tu te rends compte que ta mère, elle s'imagine que tu vas épouser Antoine et qu'elle va devenir grand-mère?
Si tu veux que je lui dise qu'on est ensemble,
tu vas pas lui mentir toute ta vie.
Qu'est-ce que tu cherches? Que je te serve d'alibi?
Je vais partir au marché. Ça vous laisse 2 heures pour quitter la maison. Alors je veux que vous fichiez le camp.
Delphine, vous pensez qu'elle serait d'accord avec ça?
Okay, listeners, like in every recap of every episode so far, I have to warn you that there will be spoilers, as I will be going pretty in-depth in the film. So if you have not watched La Belle Saison yet, I do recommend you stop, go watch it and come back, especially if you do not want to be spoiled. But if you are like me and you just love to be spoiled rotten, then listen on. The film opens up in 1971 with Delphine, a young woman who lives out in rural France, working at her family's farm alongside her parents. Both her mother and father ask her, "Hey, when are you going to get married?" hinting for her to couple up with the nearby neighbor Antoine, who's really just her friend, but we learn that he does have some interest in her. And after a long day of farming, her father tells Delphine that she can't be alone forever because loneliness is a terrible, terrible thing. Ain't that right? That evening, Delphine leaves her farmhouse and walks out into town, and she meets up with another girl who we can assume is her girlfriend. Her girlfriend tells Delphine that she will soon be married and that they can no longer see one another. Delphine asks her girlfriend if she's in love with this man that she's going to be marrying, to which the girl says she doesn't know, but he's ambitious and he wants to move to Limoges, a nearby metropolitan city in that region. She then asks Delphine if Delphine wants to stay in the countryside, to which Delphine quickly says yes, that there's everything for her here. The girlfriend, or I guess ex-girlfriend, is disappointed and tells her that, you know what, we're getting older and we need to move on with our lives. And what happened between us, romantically, wasn't serious. Post-breakup, Delphine is pretty heartbroken, and she continues on to work with her family, but soon realizes that she herself isn't happy. So she packs up her bags and moves to Paris. Paris, the city of love. And to us, it looks like she loves it. Delphine has this little attic of an apartment. She starts working this desk job in an office somewhere, and she eats canned beans for dinner, all the while listening to the current news in the city. Strolling the streets of Paris the following day, she comes across a group of girls who run the streets, pinching and groping the asses of men. Side note, one of my favorite scenes in this movie. And Delphine smiles at them, probably thinking that this is just some joke or some bet. Until one of the men grab the arm of one of the girls and begins to slap her around, saying, hey, do you like that? You think that's funny? You think that's funny? Delphine runs and pulls the guy off and runs away with the girl into the next oncoming bus. The girl and the group of girls that she's with, they thank Delphine for her help. And Delphine asks, what are you guys doing? Is this like a bet? Was this a joke? The group of girls thank Delphine for her help and they tell her that they are a student group of feminists and they'd love for her to join them on one of their meetings soon that week. Delphine goes to one of their meetings eventually and is instantly entranced at the community of these loud, outspoken women who just want fairness. They just want equality in France. There's also a debate on who's allowed to join. There's arguments that ensue, but at the end, there's this song that unites all of the women together, and it's such a beautiful scene to watch. After the meeting, Delphine grabs a drink with Carole, the girl that she saved getting attacked from the other day. After some light flirting, Delphine learns that Carole is a Spanish teacher and that, well, because Delphine didn't guess her occupation correctly, her punishment is to join the feminist group in their next meeting. And when that day rolls around, Delphine sits outside of the lecture hall for the group. And once Carole arrives, Delphine's face just lights up and happy and excited to see her. And we can tell that there is a budding romance happening, at least from Delphine's side. The group then decides to go to a local town meeting that's against the right of women to abort or terminate their pregnancies. The feminist group enter incognito, but have a plan to disrupt the meeting and defend the rights of women. Once they start, for the lack of a better word, ensuing chaos, they run away before the cops get there, and they also start to spread flyers throughout the campus. Delphine then gets invited to Carole and her partner Manuel's house, to where the group discusses if they should help escape a male friend of theirs who was psychiatrically institutionalized for being gay. Some in the group say that it's not their job nor their mission to help others, especially men, while others say that it's of course their mission to help out a friend of the group who's also being categorized as inferior because of their sexual orientation. The group decides to break out their friend and they drive down to the south of France. And after breaking him out and crashing at one of the girl's aunt's house, Carole and Delphine get closer. Delphine talks about her life at the farm and how, although her mother works relentlessly at the farm herself and cooks and takes care of Delphine and her father, she has no right or no say in the decision-making rights when it comes to the farm or the local village. That night, Carole sneaks into Delphine's room with an excuse that the other girl she was bunking with was snoring too loudly. Mm-hmm. Oldest trick in the book. As they lay together, Carole tells Delphine that she should really take the farm away from her father and to try to change the local farm community. But Delphine rejects this idea, saying that she doesn't want to take the farm away from her father. She was just expressing that women in the countryside that where she was raised also feel the mistreatment and the imbalance of rights. Delphine then, in a moment of silence and concealed passion, kisses Carole. Carole backs off and asks what Delphine is doing and that they shouldn't because they're just probably drunk and don't worry about it. We've just drank too much. Delphine is upset, feeling rejected, and turns over and asks Carole to leave. The next morning, the group drives back to Paris, and Delphine is pretty much giving Carole this silent treatment, and the two are avoiding one another. A few days later, while coming out of her office job, Delphine finds Carol waiting for her across the street. The two greet each other, casually, but you can tell that Delphine is still not over that weird encounter from the other day. Carol tells Delphine why she didn't come to the group's last meeting. Delphine just says, "I was busy." Carol then tells Delphine that she was caught by surprise by their kiss, and she wasn't rejecting it. Carol tells her that, "Listen, I'm not a lesbian. I have friends that are lesbian and they're cool and all, but I've never really explored romantically with women." Delphine looks at Carol and tells her that, "I'm not a lesbian either," and leads her to an alley nearby, and the two share a very passionate kiss. That evening, back at Delphine's little attic apartment, the two make love for the first time. Not long after their first night together, Carol breaks up with her partner, Manuel. At first, he's upset, as anyone would be, but they have a very honest conversation. Carol tells him that this was something that just happened, and nothing she planned or wished for nor thought about beforehand. Delphine and Carol fall in love, and the two seem completely happy, until Delphine receives a letter from home. Her father, Maurice, suffered a stroke and was in a comatose state. After going back home and seeing the situation for herself, Delphine phones Carol and tells her that she's going to have to stay at the farm and help out her mother because her mother can't do all that work for herself. There's no other relatives, there's no other male relatives to take over the farm, so she has to do it. Carol is saddened by the news and wishes it weren't so, but understands. So Delphine goes back to working in the farm, and after her father wakes up from his coma, he's unable to speak or walk or pretty much do anything for himself. Carol soon joins Delphine at the farm, first as a weekend visit and then deciding to leave her partner Manuel and joining her permanently, although the two disguise it as a summer holiday so her mother won't suspect anything different. At first, things were going great. Carol is helping out at the farm, learning the ropes, like compiling the hay and feeding their cows and other farm animals. Carol has even added a fresh air to the farm life, often playing music from her record player and dancing with Delphine's mom, Monique. The three women run the farm together, and when Carol brings up the fact that, listen, us three women can just run this farm just fine without any help from men, Monique, Delphine's mother, brushes it off and saying that, well, it would be better with having a man around. Later that week, the town organized a bonfire for the young residents in the area, and the locals are happy to have Delphine back, celebrating her return from Paris, especially Antoine, her childhood friend that her parents were egging her to consider marrying earlier in the film. What Delphine doesn't know is that Antoine had caught them kissing, her and Carol, earlier that day, but hasn't told Delphine or anyone about it. Carol, who, although enjoying the farm life and nature-esque views at first alongside Delphine, is beginning to tire of the countryside. Her feminist views were shut down by the locals at the bonfire, and she felt limited in expressing herself like she did back in Paris. And when it came to Delphine, Carol can't publicly show affection to her, and Delphine minimizes their interaction as much as possible to not make the other people around them in the town curious or suspicious of their romantic relationship. Carol asks Delphine if she misses Paris, to which Delphine says no, and that the only reason she seemed happy in Paris was because she met Carol there. And Carol tells Delphine that, well, I miss the sounds of the city and grabbing coffee before work and just being around different people all the time. Later that day, Delphine and her mother Monique receive Antoine as a visitor, coming by to pick up payment for the farm. Monique tells Carol that she hopes Antoine will marry Delphine now that she's come back from Paris. This upsets Carol, who then asks Delphine if this is true. Carol tells Delphine that, you know what, you should tell your mom the truth about us, but Delphine refuses, telling her that it's better to let her dream. After an argument, the two reconcile a bit, but they are seen kissing by a nearby farmer. Uh-oh. Things get even more conflicted between Delphine and Carol when, at a farmer meeting, Delphine's paranoia about that local farmer knowing their secret leads her to kiss Antoine, randomly. And Antoine is pissed. He pushes her back and tells her that, what am I, like your beard? But he doesn't say beard. He says something a bit more old-fashioned, but he's pretty much the gist is, what am I, someone to cover up your secret? When Delphine returns back to the house, she and Carole make up and they make love that night. But then they are soon discovered by Monique, Delphine's mom, the following morning as she watches them in bed together naked. Delphine, upset that her mother saw them together, goes out to start her farm work and kind of pretends like nothing happened. Monique is waiting for Carole to meet her at the kitchen. And when she does, Carole apologizes and said, I'm sorry that you saw that. I love your daughter. But then Monique just won't hear any of it. She strikes Carole and calls her a devil and demands Carole to leave her house, that she has perverted her daughter and damaged her. Carole, extremely upset, runs out to Delphine and tells her that she's leaving. She can't do this anymore. She cannot live this lie anymore with Delphine. And then Delphine joins Carole saying, no, I will come with you. And they pack their bags and they leave the farmhouse and are on their way to the train to go back to Paris. At their first layover stop, Carole is super giddy. She tells Delphine how excited she is to return to Paris and how she will bring Delphine to this really nice restaurant where the two of them can just be together out in the open. But Delphine is quiet. She's nodding and agreeing, but you can tell there's a bit of reluctance in her. We can see that she's struggling because maybe she's not excited to return to Paris. In fact, she feels guilty. And that guilt begins to creep up within her. As time passes by, Delphine has made the decision to return back to the farm. And after the announcement of the incoming train, the one that's going to take them to Paris, Carole tells Delphine to, hey, grab your bag, we're going to go and catch the train now to go back to Paris. But pretty soon, Carole notices that Delphine is not following her and actually has stayed in the other platform, away from the incoming train. The train arrives, and Carole desperately looks down to the steps to see if Delphine is coming to follow her, but she doesn't. And when the conductor makes the announcement that the train is going to take off, Carole just gets inside the train and watches how Delphine stands from that other platform and watches her as she departs. A silent goodbye between them. Delphine returns home to the farm, and her mother is surprised but happy to see her. Monique asks Delphine if she missed her train, to which Delphine says, no, I just wanted to come back home. The two sit on their table, Monique pouring Delphine some coffee, and Delphine looking out of her window in silence. We are then brought to Paris 5 years later in 1976, and Carole is now working at a clinic where young women who are considering abortions or terminating their pregnancies, as well as prescribing birth control. The young woman that's sitting in front of Carole asks her if she herself is on birth control, to which Carole says no, because she is living with a woman, and she smiles. Later that day, Carole looks through her stash of mail and sees a letter arrive from Delphine. Delphine says that she hopes the letter arrives safely to Carole and that she herself has actually managed to buy her own farm and escape the one that was owned by her parents. She now has her own farm in the south of France, and she wonders what Carole is doing with her life and who she's with and what causes her and the feminist group are fighting for. She apologizes for not having the strength to leave with Carole that day on the platform and that she regrets it, but realizes that there's no point in going backwards because it's impossible and that there's only moving forward and moving on. And that's the end of the film. I must admit, I saw this film a few years ago by myself, but I rewatched it recently with my girlfriend and it spoke to me differently this time around. So to all the listeners, I'm now posing this question. Is this a period film? A period film, by definition, and credit to the blog Willow and Thatch, period films are a work of art set in or reminiscent of an earlier time period. Period films are also called period dramas, costume dramas, historical films, and heritage films. But is La Belle Saison, aka Summertime, a period drama? This film was released in 2015, but the story takes place in the 70s, with 70s fashion and no mobile smartphone web 2.0 technology. I will link the Willow and Thatch article and blog in the show notes. What this film also covers is what is known as France's second wave feminism, or Le Mouvement de Libération des Femmes, which ran between the 70s to the early 80s. It is said to have started in 1970 when a dozen or so women stood at the famous Arc de Triomphe in Paris, and they laid a wreath that said, "There is one person more unknown than the unknown soldier, his wife." The women that participated during this time were a mix of older generation, like those that followed Simone de Beauvoir, and the younger generation, those that were reaching adulthood and were children of parents that were sent to World War II or the Vietnam War. These women fought for autonomy, for birth control, for abortion, against sexual assault, and the right for mothers to have a say in their children's affairs, which, side note, men had the sole right to decide for their children's well-being and their future and their assets in France until the mid-80s. As Françoise Peak states in the Women's Studies book Thinking Differently, and I quote, "The government was challenged, and in the end, it had to change the law. It changed the law on abortion and contraception, but also on other issues where the feminists could obtain the support of public opinion, like family law, divorce, rape. Many laws that gave more freedom to women, more power, and more equality, like in the family, at work, and in society, were voted in," unquote. To read this excerpt from Françoise Peak and other Le Mouvement Libération des Femmes and French feminism resources in general, those links will be in the show notes as well. Virginia DeBolt from Old Ain't Dead, I love that name by the way, wrote a really nice review on La Belle Saison, and I'll add it also to the show notes. Virginia writes that she viewed this film not as a tragic tale, but as a tale of first love. To her, the relationship between Carole and Delphine were doomed from the start. And I agree completely. I think in this relationship, the fact that Carole, leaving behind the modern comfort, feminist views of Paris, her community, to be with Delphine, who herself couldn't find the strength to come out and be open about the relationship, it can be very damaging and lead to a lot of resentment. If this story was written to say that eventually Delphine opens up to her small farm town about the relationship and that the whole town ends up knowing about it, and that Carole and Delphine live happily ever after in this farm town village, it would have been almost fantastical. Yes, it would have been a happy ending, but it would have been unrealistic. I am a strong believer that a person should only come out of the closet when the time is right for them, when the circumstances are in their favor. I don't think that Delphine, in her circumstances, should have been forced to come out if she wasn't ready for it. Her priorities were to be at the farm, supporting her family. And although Carole was there to support her and be there for her, them two were just in two different pages and times in their life. If it were up to Delphine, I'm sure that she would have enjoyed having this peaceful farm life where she could be herself completely and out and proud. And she does eventually do that. At least we're led to believe that she does. It may have taken those 5 years, according to the letter that Carole receives at the end of the film, or maybe it happened earlier and she sends Carole the letter 5 years later when she mustered up the courage to do so. When we meet Delphine, Delphine is broken up by her mysterious girlfriend who dreams of leaving their small village farm town to live in Limoges, a city in west central France. And when Delphine moves to Paris, she quickly adapts to the city life, living in a small cramped flat, eating canned processed foods. She felt the bustling of the city, wearing trendier clothes. Can we pause and appreciate that shiny leather trench coat that she has on? I mean, it's spectacular. To us, the viewer, Delphine becomes a city girl. She's no longer a farmer's daughter. Then she meets this exciting, thrilling feminist group that pushes her boundaries and completely takes her out of her comfort zone. And they fight for women's rights, like the right to abort and anti-sexual harassment. And these are causes that we can imagine Delphine felt herself and wanted to fight for herself, but was too afraid to speak out on in her small farm town that was very conservative. We know this because in the beginning of the film, Delphine's dad tells her that she should marry. He also says that there's nothing worse than being alone, which we learn in the end from Delphine's letter, that she gets her own farm and starts her new chapter alone, but in a positive note. This was a bittersweet ending, but I'm glad that it ended this way. The first time I saw this film, I was left heartbroken by the ending. But like many first loves, this one had to end for the better of the story. To watch La Belle Saison, it is available to rent on Amazon through the Strand releasing subscription, but you can also rent it through YouTube, Vudu, and Google Play. Thank you for listening to this episode of Movies a la Queer, and if you haven't done so already, follow Movies a la Queer podcast on Instagram, where I do provide updates and hold voting polls on what should be the next episode. You can also follow this podcast on TikTok to get some short-form analysis on some of your favorite LGBTQIA films. This is Sarita Ramirez. Stay safe, enjoy your life, cuddle up with your favorite person or pet, and watch a film. And I'll see you next week with another episode. Bye.